The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org.
When you let your light shine brightly, Pastor Greg Laurie says people around you will notice. And that's your opportunity to speak up.
One of the greatest compliments that can be paid to a Christian is when an unbeliever comes up to you and says, "Why are you so happy? Why are you such a caring person? Why are you so compassionate? Why don't you lose your temper more often? Why are you the way that you are?" And that is the perfect moment for you to say, "Let me tell you about my relationship with God."
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again, you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Each time our path crosses with a non-believer, we may notice how they behave differently than we do. Here's the question. Do they notice how we behave differently than they do? If they don't, that may mean it's time to let our light shine brighter. If they do notice, that may mean it's time for us to share what makes us different. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us learn how to walk with God in a way that others will say, "I want what they have." Let's be prepared to tell them.
So we took a look at a guy in the Old Testament whose name is Enoch. And he had what you might describe as a solo rapture. Well, by that I mean he personally was caught up to meet the Lord and be with the Lord. And there's no other illustration of this in Scripture. And he was kind of living in his version of the end times. Because it was the days before the flood, before God judged the earth the first time. And here's what we read about him. We're going to come to Hebrews 11 in a moment, but Genesis 5:21 says of Enoch, he lived 65 years. He begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He had sons and daughters, and all of his days were 365 years. And here's the big verse. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. So the Lord caught him up to be with him. And there's four takeaway truths from the life of Enoch that are relevant for believers living in the last days. Number one, we need to walk with God. Number two, we need to live lives that are well pleasing to God. Number three, we should be a witness for God, because number four, one day we will go to be with God. So let's quickly review what we looked at last time. Enoch walked with God and was not. Remember, we looked at Amos chapter 3, verse 3, which says, "Can two walk together unless they be agreed?" And remember, one thing that we pointed out is to be agreed means to be in sync with. So the idea is if we walk with God, we're in sync with God. That brings us to our second point. Enoch lived a life that pleased God. He lived a life that pleased God. Look at Hebrews 11, 5. Enoch had, underline these two words, this testimony that he pleased God. What an amazing statement. Well, how do I know if I'm pleasing the Father? Let me give you two biblical points, two verses that specifically tell us what pleases God. One is in 2 Peter 2. And here it is. One thing that pleases God is when you're treated unfairly, you hang in there. Again, one thing that pleases God is when you're treated unfairly, you hang in there. We've all been misrepresented. We've all been mistreated. You've had people tell lies about you, right? You know what that's like. But listen, if you sort of rolled with it, that pleases God, because 1 Peter 2 says, God is pleased with you when you, for the sake of your conscience, patiently endure unfair treatment. And you get no credit for being patient if you're beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing right and are patient beneath the blows, God is pleased with you. So if you've been misrepresented, mistreated, and you've hung in there and you haven't struck back, that pleases God. Another thing that pleases God is when we worship him. Because Hebrews 13:15 says, By him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise. It is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share. Listen, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So what you were just doing in worship, that pleased God. When you reach out to someone who is in need, you help somebody out in the name of the Lord, that pleases God as well. So number one, we need to walk with God. Number two, we want to live a life that's well-pleasing for God. And now the third thing about Enoch is he was a witness for God. He was a witness for God. Look at Hebrews 11 again. Look at verse 5. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. So there was a testimony where he lived it, and it earned him the right to talk about it. One of the greatest compliments that can be paid to a Christian was when an unbeliever comes up to you and says, "Why are you so happy? Why are you such a caring person? Why are you so compassionate? Why don't you lose your temper more often? Why are you the way that you are?" And that is the perfect moment for you to say, "Let me tell you about my relationship with God." But sometimes we don't do that. We'll say, "Well, wholesome living," or "family values." What does that even mean? No, that is an opportunity for you to talk about your faith in Christ. You've effectively earned the right to share your faith. So we want to be a witness for the Lord. That's something we should be focusing on and looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Listen to this. Every Christian should be able to share the gospel in 3 minutes or less. Did you hear what I said? Every Christian should be able to share the gospel in 3 minutes or less. You say, "Then Greg, why do you preach for 40 minutes at the Harvest Crusade?" Good question. But you can do it in 3 minutes or less. It's called cutting to the chase. Let's just say you were in a plane, God forbid, and all the engines were out, and you were on your way to the ground, and it looked as though you were going to crash, and you had a moment to maybe share the gospel with the person to your right or left, or for that matter, for the whole plane. I mean, what are they going to do, you know? "Sir, you can't do that, or we'll have the air marshals." "No, don't, we're crashing, so it's okay." And let's say you had, 4 to 5 minutes. Hopefully you would say something to people, and hopefully you could just simply articulate the gospel. Yet I am amazed by how some people cannot seem to explain this message. The gospel is simple. It's not simplistic, but it is simple. It's simple enough for a child to understand. So every one of us should do it. And you're thinking, "Well, if you're so hot, why don't you do it?" Okay, well, I'm not hot, but thank you for that thought. Oh, actually, I just said it. But anyway, it's just very simple. You just basically say, here's the bottom line. God loves you, but you're separated from God because of your sin. You've broken his commandments. You've fallen short of his standards. But here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sins, and then he rose again from the dead. If you will turn from your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven and you can go to heaven. That wasn't even 3 minutes. Now, could I have added to that? Oh, sure. Could I have illustrated it? Yeah, I could have done that. Could I have brought in some verses to quote? Yeah, I could have. But my point is, it's just Christ in him crucified. That is your message. And so we need to look for those opportunities. Enoch was a witness for God. Jude chapter 1. Well, there's only one chapter in Jude. So Jude 1 verse 14 says, "Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. And he said, 'Listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He'll convict every person of all the ungodly things they've done and the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" So Enoch prophesied. Enoch preached. He spoke up about his faith. He was a witness for God, and we too should be a witness for God.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We send these daily studies out via the radio, satellite, and over the internet. And we don't always know how these messages are touching lives. But when we hear the stories of our listeners, it reassures us that these lessons are helping people.
Thank you so much, Pastor Greg, for your encouraging and grounding message on God's answer to fear and worry. It has helped me so much. As I grow older, I find myself getting more and more anxious about just silly things. It's a great reminder to pray for childlike faith and trust that God is truly in control.
Yes, He is in control. Do you have a story to tell of how Pastor Greg's studies have made an impact on your life? If so, would you share that with us? Just call 1-866-871-1144. That's 866-871-1144.
Well, Pastor Greg is presenting a message today titled, How to Walk with God in 2020, Part 2. And our thanks to our Harvest partners for their consistent support that helps make today's study possible.
Final point, Enoch went to be with God. So he walked with God. He was well-pleasing to God. He was a witness for God, and he went to be with God. How should we live as believers, knowing that Christ could come back at any moment? We should walk with God. We should live lives that are well-pleasing to God. We should be a witness for God, because one day we'll go to be with God. No matter what, that's going to happen. You know, you're going to get to heaven. By taxi or Uber, doesn't matter. You're going to get there. So it could be the rapture in our lifetime. That'd be awesome. Or it might just be death. You might live to be an old person, and you might not live as long as you thought you would. But you will go to heaven if you put your faith in Christ. Go back to verse 5 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. God took him. This phrase, took him, could be translated, carried him over or across. Enoch did not die. Normally, people die. The Bible says it's appointed unto a man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Enoch was the rare exception to the rule. He did not die. He was taken straight to heaven. He was picked up from one shore, and he was put on another. But for Enoch, this transfer to heaven was not an interruption. He went from walking with God one day to waking with God the next day. That's so cool. You're walking with God, and next thing you know, you're waking up in heaven. And by the way, when the rapture comes, it's in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. Do you know how fast the twinkling of an eye is? It's faster than the blinking of an eye. You couldn't even measure it in time. The word that is used in the Greek is atomos. We get our word atom from it. It suggests something that is so quick, you wouldn't even be able to measure it in any way, shape, or form. It'd just be like you blink your eyes and you're in heaven. Just suddenly you're in the presence of loved ones that have preceded you, and you're in the presence of the Lord. So I don't know how this worked, but the Lord and Enoch would take walks, I guess, every day. Maybe one day the Lord said, you know what, buddy? We're closer to my house than yours. Why don't you come home with me? And he did. And he was in heaven. And one day, if we put our faith in Christ, we will be too. Why was Enoch taken to heaven? Not because he walked with God, but because he believed in God. Hebrews 11:5 says it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. You see, Enoch's walking with God came as a result of that. The things I do for God don't get me to heaven. It's what God has done for me that makes me want to do things for Him. You see? So it's not doing all these wonderful things and now hopefully God will let me into heaven or take me in the rapture, but because I've turned from my sin and I've believed in Jesus and received Him as my Savior and Lord, and now I'm walking with Him, I will go to heaven because of my faith that I put in the Lord. Enoch walked with God. He was well-pleasing to God. He was a witness for God, and he went to be with God. What a great thing to have said of you. If it was said of me one day after I'm gone, you know, Greg walked with God. He pleased God. He witnessed for God. Now he's with God. I would feel like mission accomplished. That's really all I want. And I know you want the same. Because we're in a spiritual race. And in this spiritual race, speed does not matter as much as distance. The idea is to finish this race. Don't forget, Enoch walked with God for 300 years. After he was 65 years old, He made a commitment to the Lord. And I ask you in closing, are you walking with God? Are you in harmony with God? Do you know God? Because it all comes down to starting this relationship with him. And I wonder if I'm talking to someone right now in the room, someone watching, and we've talked about these things about the end times and the imminent return of Christ, and you're thinking to yourself, man, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I would be taken to be with the Lord, because Jesus said, one will be taken and the other left. There will be people that will be caught up to heaven, and there will be people left on earth to face a horrible time known as the Great Tribulation period that will begin with the emergence of the Antichrist and will end with the second coming of Jesus Christ. And by the way, we'll be with the Lord when he returns, because as Enoch reminded us in that statement from Jude, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. So when Christ returns, you're going to return with Christ to the earth. But you'll be in heaven because you'll have been caught up with him in the rapture. But I wonder, if the Lord came back tonight, would you be taken or would you be left? Here's your choice. Get right or get left. Get right with God or you will be left behind. And we're going to pray in a moment, and I'm going to extend an opportunity for you to be sure you're ready for the Lord's return. An opportunity for you to be certain that your sin is forgiven and you know Christ is living inside of you and you know you're ready to go to heaven. This is a very important decision. Let me restate that. This is the most important decision you will ever make. Far more important than what you're going to eat for dinner tonight. Far more important than what career path you're going to choose. Far more important than even who you're going to marry, as important as that is, the important decision of what are you going to do with Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for your sin, paid for every wrong you've ever committed, rose again from the dead, and now he stands at the door of your life and he knocks and he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. You say, what do you mean open the door? Is there a little door inside of my heart I haven't noticed? Well, it's obviously a picture. It's a metaphor. The idea is if someone's knocking at the door of your house and you want that person to come in, you might even open the door before they're done knocking. So they're like, you know, knocking on it. Come in. I've been waiting for you. I was watching you with my little camera. I knew you're coming. Welcome to my home. Please come in. Make yourself at home. So Jesus is knocking. Are you going to open the door? Are you going to pretend that you don't see him? The problem is you have a glass door and he's looking at you. Hey, yeah. So it's kind of hard to act like you don't see him. He sees you, you see him. So to not open that door when he's clearly there knocking at the door is a rejection, isn't it? There's no other way to put it. So you either open the door and ask Christ to come in, or you leave the door closed and effectively say, I don't want you in my life. Is that what you want to do? Because Jesus said, you're for me or against me, you're with me or you're opposed to me. Here's your choice tonight. Yes or no to Jesus. Here's the result of your choice, to be blunt. Heaven or hell? Oh yeah, hell's real. And the last thing God wants is for any man or woman made in his image to spend eternity in this horrible place created for the devil and his angels. And if you end up in hell, you'll have no one to blame but yourself in that final day. You have to practically climb over Jesus to get there. But if you're bound and determined, the Lord will allow you to pursue the course you want. But what he wants is for you to be forgiven. What he wants is for you to go to heaven. What he wants is for you to be ready for his return. What he wants is a relationship with you, a friendship with you. He wants to take long walks with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to show his love to you. He wants it to start now. And if you've not asked him to come into your life, you can do it right here, right now. In a moment, we're going to pray, and I'm going to extend an opportunity for anybody here that wants to accept Jesus into their life. Anybody here that wants to be ready for the return of the Lord, or maybe somebody here that needs to make a recommitment to the Lord, here's your opportunity to do it. Don't miss this opportunity. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sin. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and laying your life down for us, and letting them pound those spikes through your hands and feet, and dying for the sins of the world, but specifically dying for our sins, and then rising again from the dead. Now here you are, standing at the door of our life and knocking, and just saying, if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in. I pray for every person here, every person listening, every person watching, wherever they are. If they don't know Jesus, let this be the moment they believe. Let this be the moment that their sin is forgiven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
An important prayer from Pastor Greg Laurie. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord, Pastor Greg wants to help you do that, and he'll do so before today's edition of A New Beginning wraps up. And if you'd like to preserve this insight for the future, or just get an instant replay to hear something you missed, you can go online to harvest.org. The title of today's message, How to Walk with God in 2020, Part 2. Or get a CD copy by calling 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. And by the way, if you'd like some great insights in the area of personal evangelism, Pastor Greg has a very helpful online study course you can take, free of charge. It's called Tell Someone. Get the details at courses.harvest.org. And then we're so happy to make available Found and Loved, a picture book set from noted children's author Sally Lloyd-Jones. And Pastor Greg and his wife Kathy are here to talk about it. You know, Pastor Greg, a big portion of this great book set deals with the Lord's Prayer, Jesus' model for effective prayer for us as disciples. And, you know, what a great thing to teach our kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think as parents, maybe we do our kids a disservice by only teaching our kids how to say grace or only teaching the now I lay me down to sleep prayer?
Well, I think it's good to teach children prayers, but it's more important to teach them how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's Prayer, that's actually what it is. The disciples came to Jesus and they didn't say, hey, Lord, teach us a really good prayer. They said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And then he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And on it goes. And this powerful prayer that is a great prayer to pray, but even more, it's a template for prayer. But what a great thing to commit to memory. And I don't think you could start too early by getting that prayer into the hearts and minds of little children. And we happen to have that very prayer in a special book written by the fantastic author Sally Lloyd-Jones and illustrated by Jago, who's an amazing artist. And she's taken the Lord's Prayer and she's written it in a way that a child can understand, but also in a way that an adult can appreciate.
Yeah, Sally does take the words of the Lord's Prayer, and she brings them in a fresh and just a beautiful, simple way.
Yes.
That expresses exactly what the essence of this prayer is all about.
Right.
It covers the facets of prayer, of adoration, of confession, of hope, and it brings it in such a way that I will guarantee that you as a parent or a grandparent will be equally ministered to by.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've been ministered to by the words that Sally has written for children, and they have spoken to my life, to my situation as an adult. And so you're going to love these beautiful, full color on every page, illustrated books, hardcover in this set that comes in a special jacket. It's going to be a treasure that you're going to keep forever and ever and pull those books down and read over and over again, because these are the words of Scripture and they're going to live, and you're going to hear them with new ears, because the language that Sally has chosen and the words that she has selected are so beautifully simple and powerful.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about the two picture book set called Found and Loved. And we'd like to send it your way to thank you for your investment in this outreach. It's an investment that touches lives every single day. In fact, we read a social media post that said, Pastor Greg, I just watched your webcast. I've reached out myself and started a Bible study online. I want to thank you for having the webcast. Because of these, I've found my way back to God and am finally at peace in my life.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
So we hope you might invest so others can be touched in that same way. And when you do, we'll be glad to send you Found and Loved by Sally Lloyd-Jones. Write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or simply go online to harvest.org. Well, Pastor Greg, you talked today about the importance of coming to the Lord or coming back to the Lord. And
yeah.
And no doubt there's somebody listening right now who'd like to do that. Can you help them take that next step?
Yes, I would be delighted to. And you that want to make this commitment or recommitment to Christ, I want you to pray right now. And if you mean this prayer from your heart, God will hear you. The Bible says, draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. And that's a step you'll be taking now. Pray this after me. God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I'm sorry for my sin. But I thank you for sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to die on the cross in my place. Now I turn from my sin, and I choose to follow you this day forward as your disciple. Thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer and meant it from your heart, God has heard you and He has forgiven you. We have some materials that we would like to send to you at no charge that will encourage you in this commitment you've made to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right. The materials are all assembled in what we call our New Believers Growth Packet. We'll be glad to send it your way if you'll get in touch with us right away. It's free of charge. Just write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Well, next time, a special program as we listen in on a broadcast of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, where he, Pastor Greg, and businessman Barry McGuire talk about the unprecedented opportunity the coronavirus is presenting to give people hope in Jesus Christ. That's next time here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.